As we come to the table this morning as the family of God, I want to direct your thoughts, your attentions, and by God's grace, your affections to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. The word says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you were clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you?'" John, throughout the entirety of his gospel, has always been very fond of giving us a deeper understanding than the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's been said that John is the spiritual gospel, right? The first three writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of give us an account of the outward, physical, visible work of what Christ was doing and saying and teaching and what was happening. Where John, from the very beginning of his gospel, has kind of given us both, right? He's given us what Jesus has said, but then he goes by way of the Spirit given to him, telling us what these things mean and telling us what Jesus meant, right, when it comes to the temple. Jesus said, "Tear this down, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." And John adds, "By this he signified his body," right, not the physical temple. Here also, knowing who would betray him, all of that. But it's amazing here that we're given a picture in this act of washing feet, this simple act of serving his disciples. He's actually given us a picture of our salvation from beginning to end. I've always found that phrase at the end of verse 1 to be very, very moving. He says that he loved his own to the end. He loved them to the end. That perfectly describes the love of God for his people. He loved them to the end. And as God is everlasting, without beginning, without end, he will love us to the very end, eternally. It's amazing here that Jesus knew that everything had already been given into his hands. That he had come from God, that he was going back to God. And yet in spite of that, John tells us that he took a towel. He rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. He prepared for the act of a slave. He prepared for the act of service. Knowing full well who he was. Knowing full well where he was headed. Knowing all the privileges, the rights that were given to him by his father, John says, knowing full well what was his and all that he was entitled to, he laid aside. All right, that should remind us of Philippians chapter 2, how he did not count equality with God a thing to be held onto, but he laid aside his privileges as the God-man, as the second person of the Trinity. And what did he do? He humbled himself to the place of a slave, like we see here. And he lays down himself for us, washing us and telling Peter that unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You have no share with me. And Peter, in absolute exaggeration, but genuineness, says, Lord, then not just my feet, my hands and my head, my whole body as well. And it's amazing because in verse 12, it gives us a picture of what really did happen after his suffering and after his death and after his resurrection. Notice John's language. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place. Resumed his place. The preaching of Peter and Paul, the rest of the apostles would emphasize in the book of Acts that when he washed us, when he made atonement for our sins, when he poured out his life in the place of his people, what did he do? He resumed his place at the right hand of the Father as the God-man, now granting repentance and faith to all who would come to him willingly. And so we want to remember this morning that, friends, according to verse 9 or verse 10 says that we are already completely clean. By God's grace, we are completely clean. Like we've been talking about the last two Sundays and dealing with the matter of justification, we are completely, entirely clean. And so from this point on, we need not a decisive, once for all, washing of our entire soul. You just need the washing of our feet as they get dirty through this world, because we've been already taken a bath, so to speak, by the grace and goodness and kindness of our Savior Jesus Christ. This would have been humiliating for the disciples at this point, right? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God in the flesh, stooping low, stooping himself down to wash their feet. I mean, I could imagine Peter. I understand what Peter's saying. Lord, do you wash my feet? Do you wash my feet? None of them had taken the initiative to do it. Jesus, in his grace, stoops down, takes off his outer garments, dresses like a servant. They already knew where this was heading as soon as they saw him do that. He washes them. And this is the essence of salvation, right? Faith is letting God wash. Not contributing to the washing, not contributing to the cleansing, but giving up, as we're going to look at today. Faith is simply giving up and letting God be the God who saves, the God who regenerates, the God who justifies, the God who saves his people from himself, for himself, and by himself. And so we, as the people of God, have so much to be thankful for this morning, that we have been humbled to the point of just giving up and letting him wash, letting him do the serving. The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And by God's grace, we are part of that many today. So for those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you, like we read in our reading in Philippians chapter 3, you worship by the Spirit of God, you put no confidence in the flesh, and you glory and boast in Jesus Christ and his work and his righteousness and his grace. If you believe and you've been baptized out of obedience to Christ in believing in him, I invite you up to the table. It's a table of celebration. It's not a table where we come and necessarily mourn over our sins and think of all our failures. It's just a table where we are reminded that you are completely clean.